Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
What's up, Foos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is The Big Breakdown. A long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
This next part that we're going to get into here with the Duggars is one of the first extended phone calls between Joseph Duggar and his wife, Kendra, recorded at the Washington County Detention Center. Joseph is in solitary 23 hours a day when he's there. Kendra has been arrested, released on bond, and is staying at an undisclosed location. Her children have been removed from her care. And this is that first call, and this is what they get into. We'll stop and we'll work our way through it. If you want to listen to the full thing completely unedited, it is there. It's on our YouTube channel. It's on the podcast platforms. You can listen to it there. We're going to go through some of it right now. Let me hit play. Here we go.
Hi. Hello.
Yeah, just know that we can't talk about what's going on here. Did Travis get a hold of you?
Yeah, I've been talking to Travis.
Oh, good.
I've got him as my attorney right now.
Okay.
I don't know if you know that. Yeah, I asked him to be my attorney.
Yeah, I didn't know who exactly. So let's get.
Well, it's not for you. It's only for me. I mean, he can work with you, but it's just they said I needed somebody for the case that we've got going with the kids and stuff.
Well, it's buffering there right now, but I'm gonna stop for a second anyhow right here. Because that I found to be interesting. Well, it's not for you. he's not for you. I don't know who we're going to go with, because he's talking about it like it's all part of the group dynamic. And suddenly, well, that one's not for you. This one's for me with the kids and stuff. But she's still kind of downplaying it. She's like trying to make him not too excited or upset about it. It's just for me. It's just what it is. I'm finding this interesting, because I think Jim Bob knows the jig is up on his son. He's right. Already saying, you're going to go away for a long time. I pray for your soul or whatever he says.
But you'll have a new ministry. I mean, but he framed it as, hey, this is a good opportunity. You'll have a new ministry.
Making lemons out of lemonade, right. The Jim Bob way. I mean, what's your thoughts there on this? The fact that about the attorney language, I found to be rather interesting.
Yeah, attorney language. So while we're listening to not just this call, but the other calls, you're going to start hearing Kendra's voice anytime she starts to go into problem-solving mode where there's real-world things going on. You're going to start hearing her voice slip into normal. And you can hear slightly slipping into normal when talking about, the attorney's for mine. So all of a sudden, the sweet voice goes away. No, the attorney's for mine. I mean, so she, when her brain shifts out of, everything's sunshine and roses, and this, we're just being tested, and it's all part of God's plan for us, and it's all about forgiveness, and yes, I know you diddled the neighbor's kids and all that, but but this attorney's for me.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's just, that's what I took from this, is just watching her when she's actually in her own problem-solving mode. Now, granted, from what I gather, I think the Duggar family said get your own attorney, or she had to, just because of dealing with her own legal issues. You can't share attorneys and stuff like that. But Joseph behind bars, seems to have relinquished everything. Let go and let God in his mind. I mean, he's like, whatever you want, I trust you. I trust my family. Hey, let's keep reading Psalms. No, we don't know where your kids are. Someone's taking care of your kids. Ah, it's fine. Just trust in God. It's all fine.
There's an element to these fuckers that he almost like, I wish I could live in that level of delusion for a day, not like in this sort of sickness, but like just in that disconnect from reality, just the disconnect of stress. Just give everything to God and everything will be fine. And there's no consequences to actions and we don't have to think about anything. I mean, it's just, it's so quite a... quite a lever they're able to pull there.
It is. So as we're listening to, I'm going to give away a little bit here because I want everyone to hear the difference as we're listening to these other clips coming up. Because, and you talk about this dissonance and this disconnect, but and you did a great setup for this, Tony, because Kendra, remember, Kendra didn't grow up in the IBLP. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's very religious, but it was outside the cult, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you'll hear that sweet, you know, accommodating little misty voice as she's talking about falling apart physically.
Yeah, let's keep listening. It's nuts.
But I want to, but also, but at the same time, listen how he's not.
Yes.
Because he grew up in crazy.
And also, has Travis asked you about releasing your belongings to me so I can get your phone?
Yeah, that works good.
Oh, no. Do I need
to? Okay, I need to talk.
Tell him to reach out to me, maybe, or something, or...
Yeah, I think we need to figure out how I can get your phone. I got your iPad. I'm trying to work through some of the lists that you gave me.
Good, okay.
I may have more questions.
Yeah, if you need passwords and stuff, just talk to Travis and we'll get those to you so you can take over everything that you need to.
Yeah. Did you hear that I'm out here with, did you hear where I'm at and everything?
I don't know. Should we say it?
I think that'll, well, I don't know. Maybe not. But they've got me a good place to stay that's very private.
Oh, praise the Lord. I'm happy about that.
So,
I was hoping.
Yeah, I'm not taking.
Well, am I just...
So you're doing okay?
I'm trying to keep my spirits up, and I feel like reading the Bible has really been helpful to calm and not think about all the situations. So it's been uplifting. So,
that's good to hear.
This one that I got, it's like some other NLT version or something like that, but it has a devotional in it. It has some really good stuff. So,
Can I get you anything? I guess, like, is there any way I can get you something else that you might need or would like to read or something while you're in there? Like, can I guess, talk to Travis, or are you there?
And then his phone kind of goes dead for a little bit.
No.
And then they reconnect.
Yeah. It was the next call.
I mean, what do you think is going
through? Trying to reach is now.
Is going through her mind. I mean, he's allegedly admitted to this shit.
Yeah.
And she's still, is there anything I can get you? Is there anything you need while you're in there? I mean.
So remember, they got married very young. I think she was 18 or 19 when they got married.
Yeah.
And so she was absorbed into that cult. A cult where there's no S sins, there's only moral failings. And you can imagine the conversations going on at this, hey, don't worry about it, Kendra. We've been through this before. It's happened. People have moral failings. Here's the best thing you can do. You just stay under the protective umbrella so Satan can't get you. You just have to forgive. We'll be here for you. And then they all swamp her with all the support. And here's all you have to do as the devoted, submissive wife. You just support your husband because that's what it's all about. And so when you have, remember, as human beings, we are extremely susceptible to group mentality. Mm-hmm. And when you are surrounded by a group saying this is the behavior you have to have, that's what she does. But because it is against what she grew up as knowing what was morally right, and that is why we haven't listened to it yet, but she is going, her body is failing her. She can't eat. She can't sleep. The stress is skyrocketing. Meanwhile, everyone else is like, it's just a normal day in Crazyville.
It is. Let's keep listening.
Hello?
Is calling you from Washington County Detention. Press 1-4, accepting the call. Press 2-4, rejecting the call. This call may be monitored or recorded.
Reject.
Press 2 and run away.
You there?
Hey, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. They had so many people, they had like 20 people to check in this morning that I wasn't able to. This is the first time I've been out all day.
It's all about him.
So.
Wow, wow.
Yeah. Wow.
It's been a very encouraging day, actually. I read the whole Book of Psalms and just finished it.
Oh, you winner, you.
No way. That's awesome.
Really,
has Travis been to see you anytime soon? Or I don't know.
No.
Okay.
Travis,
we're
going
to try to get him down there, but it's been a little crazy over here. I don't know if you know what's been going on, but yeah.
Not should a voice
exactly.
Shift?
Not everything.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We'll fill you in later, I guess, but
yeah.
I assume. But yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah.
How have you been? Have you
been
all that good?
Yeah, it's been pretty intense. Yesterday was a really rough day, but I'm doing okay. I'm here with Jed, and we're at John Abbey's, and I'm trying to get some business stuff worked out.
Okay.
So if you have any questions, we're going to try to send them through Travis.
Yeah, just send them to us and all.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's awesome. Yeah, I got up at, I don't know if you've been sleeping much. Have you been sleeping much?
Last night they actually turned off. Most of the nights they have like a light on in my room the whole night, so it's hard to see.
Oh wow!
Sweat.
Oh wow!
This the guy in one of the cells next door in the holding cell, like he was supposed to get checked in and stuff. He's been throwing a tantrum all day. So.
Oh wow!
It's almost entertaining, except for he's pretty vulgar. So I was like,
oh,
I'm just gonna focus on my Bible reading and like a prison. And I think it's New Life.
Oh, the guy next door is using vulgar language. Might I remind you, you diddle a 9-year-old, you piece of shit.
Yeah, it struck me as well. You know, he can't stand the foul language of the guy next door being checked in, but he's accused of doing horrendous things to children. That's great. and it's always remarkable to me, and everyone hopefully is picking up on it. You see, when she actually tries to go into problem-solving mode, her voice reverts to normal. And then when she's supposed to be the submissive, supportive wife, it goes back to the wispy one again.
Oh,
everything's rainbow and unicorns all over the place. It's just telling. It is very, very telling. And she keeps trying. I mean, so also, keep paying attention to his focus. His focus is always about him, and he's not complaining, but he's always talking about him, and he's always just reading this psalm and this motivational. Meanwhile, her life is just turned upside down because she married a nutter.
Let's
it's just
why put out this Bible. It's the New Living Translation, but it's actually I kind of like the New Living Translation because it's very simple.
Really? Oh, I was gonna say, like, are you gonna be changing your version by the time you get out?
Well, I mean,
her almost like nervous delusional laughter.
It's nervous laughter. It's always nervous laugh.
Easy here.
Well, I'm just
really good to hear from you.
Yeah, it's actually been really encouraging because they have like little things below it that, you know, kind of either describe it or just give a different perspective of it, of a verse. So. But it's been really good. I think last time, when we were on the phone, we were it got cut off. It cuts off after 10 minutes, I guess.
Well, but it was at like 5 minutes that it got cut off, and I didn't know if it was because of my reception. Yeah, because I couldn't hear you, and then I stayed on there for another minutes just to be sure, and then I just hung up because I thought, well, it might be 20 minutes or something. I don't even know how the whole system works. I'm trying to get set up with the portal and trying to get help from.
Okay, because it I think it cost me $3 the last call did. So I'm trying to.
Do you have enough money? And I have not been able to get your email. And did you know emails are also same as this?
Oh, okay.
Emails are the same as this. The only time it's not like this is when you have Travis or an attorney. The only time it's safe is with an attorney.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, he told me. He described that.
Okay, so emails are...
Yeah, emails are fine, but it has to be made.
No.
It's really hard to... It's hard to type on their screen, so...
No, it's totally fine. I just didn't... I couldn't find your message, and so I thought I'd let you know I couldn't find it.
Well, it's good to know.
Yeah. I don't know if it's just on my end, if I just need to get someone else to help me, but it's been pretty wild over here, and so it's slowing down today. Yeah, I wish I could talk to you.
Oh.
It's been wild.
I'm sorry, sweetie. Well, I've been praying for y'all. I know that it's a lot to deal with. So, but I'll continue to pray that things will settle and that people will, you know, all be good there. The kids doing well.
From what I hear, they are doing good.
That's good. Well.
I don't know.
I've not talked to Travis yet, but I will. I'll get filled in on everything whenever I talk to him.
Yeah, I hope you can get down. I gotta get the power of attorney from you through Travis at some point.
That'd be good.
So hopefully he'll. And I was gonna send you questions if I had any. So I was hoping to talk to some of the brothers. I think John will be done in a bit. He's mowing or something, or he was gonna mow. Anyways, and so I told him that I thought we could brainstorm and try to get most of it figured out. And then whatever we can't figure out, I'll just send you questions. So.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Have you been able to eat or anything? Yeah. Have you had a lot of anxiety?
I actually have. I started working out. I'm doing my burn boot camp style workout now.
What?
I bought it. No, I just. Well, just because I'm in like a 7x11 style, I figured I might as well do something.
Oh, I know.
And so I've been doing squat push-ups. I can do dips off the edge of the bed.
Oh, yeah.
And so I've been doing all that.
Do you have a pillow? Yeah, do you have a pillow and blanket and stuff? Or
Well, it's not really a pillow. I'm just using the bed mat. It's kind of rolled. It's not very comfortable at night, but.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
Oh, my God.
I'm fine.
So are you in good spirits through all of this?
I am because since I started reading the first day, it was really hard for me just to read the Bible. But I felt like as I started reading the Psalms and stuff, and I went through the whole devotional, like all the comments they had about different things. I just started reading the Bible today, and I was pretty anxious feeling this morning, but now I feel really encouraged.
So it kind of comes in waves.
Yeah.
Wait, so go ahead.
Just encourage you to just read the Bible.
I haven't quite gotten there yet. I'm a blur of music, though. I'm blur of music. I mean, I can try. I can try that, but I'm just.
It's
comforting.
Well, I was amazed how comforting the Psalms are.
Well, maybe I need to get there. The Psalms.
Yeah. You can just listen to it.
I haven't been able to eat hardly. I thought I was asking how you were, because I've been unable to eat for.
Well, my stomach isn't always settled, but if it's not settled, I lay down and it feels better after a little bit. So.
That's impressive.
Yeah, but I'm not eating hardly any of the bready stuff. I'm trying not to eat junk.
He's getting shaped.
Eat the veggies and the protein stuff. Some of the protein has there was this chicken sandwich thing. It was breaded, but I ate the bread and the breaded chicken. But I'm trying to focus on just doing that, and hopefully I'll trim out some in the process.
But. Oh, yeah. I'm trimming up, I think. I haven't gotten on the scale, but I think I feel a lot trimmer now.
Jesus,
I feel bad. I feel better. Don't feel as bloated as I was before.
Well, good on you, Joe.
Yeah, I'm definitely not bloated either.
She's basically falling apart.
I cannot eat. Mama keeps trying to get me to eat. She's like, do you need to eat something? And I'm like, I will try. But unless it's liquid, it doesn't really go down. So it's been a battle.
Listen to Mama.
Yeah.
Help you.
They said I got to be well to take care of all these decisions and everything. And so anyways. I know. It's good to hear you. You sound really good. And so it makes me happy. I didn't feel good after our last conversation. Because I was like, it felt really weird and tense. And we didn't really talk about anything. And I was
it's because your husband's a predator.
I was like, I don't feel good. So after it, but it's fine. I just didn't know what happened. And so anyways.
Yeah.
I'm walking. I can hardly walk. I get really winded because I'm so weak. And my legs and my body. I lost my laugh too. Like it's a silent laugh. You know how when I was really sick with the I had a silent laugh again.
Make sure you try to get some food in because it's gonna help you gain some stuff back there, I feel like.
Just not breaded chicken.
I'm gonna try. Yeah.
No carbs. Yeah. Make sure you do your dips.
I did get to sneak over and get an IV before stuff happened, and so
Oh nice.
That was that's
he says, oh, nice. Here, I have an IV because I'm dying. I'm nice.
Yeah, and I want to tell you that your family's just an absolute crazy, crazy great
crazy
support network and system, and they've just been so supportive of me.
It's
and
called love bombing.
So. Yeah, I'm really well taken. Yes, I'm really well taken care of. I just sometimes start crying because I know God's been so good. I've been writing down some of the things that I'm thankful for. That
God's been so good. He's been so good to us. You know, you're in jail for, you know, probably diddling who a lot of people are assuming might be my younger sister.
My God, I didn't know that until it popped and, up on our screen.
And might be. Can't confirm it. We have no idea. But that seems to be the scuttlebutt. And if you connect some dots, it looks pretty shitty. Again, pure speculation. We don't know. She lost her laugh. She's on an IV. She can barely eat. She's anxious as shit. She seems somewhat delusional. And he's talking about not eating breading on a prison chicken sandwich because there's too many carbs in it.
And getting in shape.
And getting in shape. Might as well do that workout boot camp behind bars.
Yeah. If you guys did something in your life that you ended up in jail for, right?
Yeah.
Would you not, and you're on the phone with your wife, wouldn't you say something like, I'm so sorry you're going through all this. I'm so, sorry I'm putting you through this.
Todd, it's such a great point. So for anyone that's following, you know, I know most of our viewers on here follow us intensively. Take a look at how Richard Allen in Delphi talks to his wife on those phone calls and where his focus is compared to this ass wipe.
Mm-hmm.
This ass clown's focus is completely on himself. His wife is basically sharing with him that she's dying from the stress, not
literally
eating, not sleeping, on an IV. And he's like, hey, man, I'm getting in better shape now.
I know.
Who cares about the kids? Yeah, kids are somewhere. Not even discussing.
You know,
again, that's why most of what I do in all these cases is let's just look at baseline of what other people are doing to assess. Is this falling in the pattern of normal behavior, healthy or unhealthy? And it is so evident where the focus is, what's going on, and you just keep going. They're literally living in a completely parallel universe that's not part of ours.
It really is, because I don't even know what to make of this. It's so
it's their normal.
Far.
This is their. That's why he seems so unfazed. That's why everyone else. She seems fazed by it, but is trying not to be because everyone around her is not fazed by this. That is so telling. Because again, I wanted to see and understand why. I know I keep harping on this, but yeah. To them, this was not sins. This was moral failings. And in order to do it, in order to have everyone be redeemed, you have to give quick restoration and never question authority. If you just live by those simple doctrines, the Lord will make it all great and you'll have a great ministry. What a great opportunity to have a great ministry. We want these trials and tribulations in our life because it gives us the opportunity to be restored. See, that's the mentality. It's okay to sin. This is what's so amazing. It's like they're giving you permission to sin because the greater glory is in being restored by forgiveness.
That's what they believe.
Yes, that's why this whole thing's reversed. That's why all this seems so normal. That's why no one seems fazed by these horrendous things because you accept it as a normal part of the human condition.
It's insane. There's more. We're going to play a little bit of the second call here in just a second. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. I know there's a lot to get through.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
You know the voice. If you've ever watched even 5 minutes of 19 Kids and Counting, you've heard it. The breathy, childlike whisper, high-pitched, impossibly gentle. Like a woman reading a bedtime story to the entire country at the same time? Millions of people heard Michelle Duggar speak that way for over a decade on national television. And most of them probably thought, well, she's just soft-spoken. She's sweet.
She's a devoted mother. That's just how she talks, right? Right?
Except it isn't. Not according to her own family. Her niece, Amy King Duggar, has said publicly that Michelle's baby voice is deliberately done, a performance cultivated to project meekness and submission. And Michelle herself has been open about where it came from. She's admitted on camera at IBLP conferences that she struggled with serious anger problems. Jesus. Her solution wasn't therapy. It wasn't self-reflection. It came from a Gothard wisdom booklet. Oh. The curriculum published by Bill Gothard's Institute in Basic Life Principles. I bet we're all running out going right now, where can I get this wisdom booklet so I too can speak like that? Let's be honest for just a quick second here. Isn't there just the teeniest bit of you that wishes, wouldn't it be nice if I truly felt that joyful all the time? And then you go, do you really feel that joyful all the time? Or is this a giant mask that you're wearing and there's something much deeper or angry behind that? I'm going to go with B. I'm going to go with the door B, Bob, because I think that that might be what we're dealing with here more than true, you know, elated joy at all points of life. I'm going to guess there might be a mask, in my opinion. So, what was the solution that Michelle Duggar allegedly learned from the wisdom booklets? I just love that word, wisdom booklets, from IBLP. Well, the wisdom booklets, here's the wisdom that they gave Michelle. Whisper. Not making this shit up. Whisper. Keep your voice low. A soft answer turns away wrath. Don't address the anger. Just make sure nobody can hear it. That voice was there when Michelle learned her teenage son had been going into his sister's room at night. It was there when she sat on a Fox News set in 2015 and told Megyn Kelly that her daughters didn't even really understand what happened to them. So I guess that makes it okay, right? I know Michelle didn't say it makes it okay. That's my conjecture. But when you're making excuses like that for your own son diddling your own daughters, yeah, there's something not okay with that. They didn't even understand. Most victims don't. But you have to be part of society and hear the words of the rest of the world outside of the 19 folks in your house to understand how these sort of things work. You can be ignorant to them your whole life, or maybe you're not at all. Maybe you just don't want to handle the reality of what's going on around you. And it's easier to talk like this. No one's going to question you. No one's going to expose you if all you do is talk like this until today. Hi. We're not going to let you just kind of sit there off in the corner anymore and be the one that's just meek and lovely, because you know what? The betrayal of a mother to her daughters who are being actively abused in their own home. And you're just like, they didn't even know what was going on. It's okay. You can stay in the house. We're all good. And then bring the predator back in. And ask them to forgive him. And everybody's just going to be fine. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. It'll be great. I wonder if that ever happens over there on the compound. That's a pretty shitty betrayal. And it's already happened a long time ago. You already got kids in this family that have left because of it and now have to keep their own boundaries up for their own mental health, in their own words. So it's high time we talk about this, and it's high time we talk about the price of the silence, of the abuse, of sticking your head in the sand and talking in a whisper. And while you may have had the best of intentions, Michelle, well, your intentions were shit. Your attentions led to horrible behaviors of the people you were raising, enabling them. One may argue that, being A-okay with, let's go have Joshy hang some drywall and come on back, he must be cured, was not an effective method of treatment and put your entire family at risk. That's an opinion. Some may say it's a fact. I'm going to go with opinion. can't really, it's hard to factualize all of that and say, here's the exact cause and effect. Now, Michelle's never been charged with anything. I'm not saying she should be, not saying she is. This is more for the argument because I'm not an attorney. I can't say criminally responsible for anything. That's for the investigators to keep digging into, and we'll see where they go. I'm going to say it's an absolute moral failure. Hidden under the guise of your umbrella of religion, spoken in a whisper, and bamboozling millions of people who watched your bullshit television series to think, oh, isn't this quaint? Oh, if only everybody lived like this. Yeah, wouldn't that be fun? It turns out more people do than not. Turns out these people actually live more like you. To everybody out there is in the real world going, oh God, it's horrible out here. I wish I was more like them. Nah. You don't.
They didn't really even understand.
And it was there in August of 2014 on a robocall she recorded for the Arkansas Family Council, warning voters in Fayetteville that a non-discrimination ordinance would let males with past child convictions enter women's restrooms, while her own son's sealed police file sat in a cabinet in Springdale, Arkansas. She's warning people about predators, and she's completely, seemingly ignorant to the one that lives in her home. Or ones that lived in her home. One may not have gone down the road of predatory behavior quite yet, but one certainly already had. The question this episode is asking isn't whether Michelle Duggar loved her children. We know she did. And does. The question is whether the relentless performance of joy, the whisper, the smile, the unshakable sweetness, function as something far darker than faith. Whether it was in practice a silencing mechanism. A system designed not to heal trauma, but to make it invisible. Because when the doctrine you follow teaches that the correct response to pain is gratitude, the victims don't just go unheard. They learn to stop recognizing themselves as victims at all. To understand what Michelle Duggar built inside that household, you have to understand the doctrine she was allegedly following. Not in the abstract, but in the daily, lived, applied to children version. And as we do, your thoughts in the comments section. Maybe you're also a survivor of the IBLP. I've been hearing from a lot of you lately, and I welcome your feedback, your insight into how this monstrous system has functioned is priceless. So please do share. Your voices are what is going to help to get the surviving people who are still stuck in the crutches or the clutches of these demons out, in my opinion. IBLP teaches what is called the umbrella of authority. God at the top, husband beneath God, wife beneath husband, children beneath both. If you step outside your husband's authority, if you question, resist, or push back, you have opened your family to spiritual attack. That's not a metaphor. That's literal IBLP teaching. Jim Bob Duggar himself said it on camera. If we allow a hole in our umbrella, Satan will come in and attack our family. For Michelle, that meant submission. Wasn't a suggestion. It was survival. It was required. She stared at Jim Bob when he spoke. She deferred in every public interaction. She adopted the voice, the posture, the soft focus gaze of a woman performing godliness in the way Gothard's materials defined it. She did it pretty good. She's giving her points for following instructions. Damn, good job. And then she taught her daughters to do the same. On her blog, Michelle wrote a post advising wives to be joyfully available to their husbands sexually, no matter what. Ha! Her framing,
Anyone else can iron his shirts or make him lunch, but only you can meet that one special need. Smile. Say yes. Be willing. Even when you're exhausted. Even when you're pregnant. Even when you don't feel like it.
Hmm. It's funny because if you just kind of move those words around a little bit, especially the don't feel like it part, and a man wants to do something like that to you, or reverse roles, whoever, another human being wants to do something like that to you, and you don't feel like it, there's a special word for it we have here in the English vernacular, and it starts with an R. And if we say it out loud, YouTube suddenly doesn't like to push our videos out there. So we're not going to do that. That's what that is, Michelle. It's not giving it up for God. It's not just appeasing your husband. But when you're taught that that's what you have to do, that's what God wants you to do, and the husbands are taught, well, that's what they're supposed to do for you. If they're good Christian women, she'll just do whatever you want, whenever you want. Isn't that the joys of the being all under Jesus-y umbrellas? You put it in the context of something like this, and you put him on a farm in Arkansas, and to the general public that then watches this on TV, it looks all, oh, this is just precious, isn't it? Look at this. You do it. You do this in a warehouse building in Chicago, and you have R. Kelly. It's like, change the skin tone a little bit, and just the actual setting of where it's happening. And one's coercive control in a harem and horrible. Because keep in mind, R. Kelly's followers, whatever you want to call them, victims, the folks who were going on television and saying, we're down with all this. Is it really that much different than the Duggars? They're saying, we're down with all this. Both motivated by fear. Fear of eternal damnation. Fear of the wrath of R. Kelly writing a shitty R&B song about you. Or whatever the hell he's going to do. Please, not another chapter of Trapped in the Closet. No more. 10 of you got that joke. If you ever want to torture yourself, watch all, I don't know how many chapters of Trapped in the Closet there are of R. Kelly. It's comical. And you'll eventually want to go to an Arkansas plot of land, buy it, build a compound, and create 19 children and lock yourself away from society. Maybe that's what happened. So I think Trapped in the Closet came out prior to the Duggars. Maybe they watched that a lot. I'm like, oh my God, we have to remove ourselves from society. Let's go have 19 kids while listening to Trapped in the Closet.
Smile. Say yes. Be willing. Even when you're exhausted, even when you're pregnant, even when you don't feel like it.
That feeling or that teaching didn't stop at the maternal or the marital bedroom. It filtered into how the daughters were raised, because under IBLP, a girl's body, this is creepy, belonged first to her father and then to her future husband. There was no stage in between where it belonged to her. There was no framework saying no. There was no language for it. Michelle described her approach to infant discipline at IVLP conferences. She would place a baby on a blanket with a favorite toy position just out of reach. Every time the child reached for it, she struck the child's hand. Because that's a great idea. You like your toy? Boom! The goal was to teach obedience before the child could walk. She coached the baby while she did it.
Sit really still and look at me with a big old smile. Boom!
I don't know how this all went down, and I'm not saying that that's exactly how it went down, but whatever the hell she described, I guess, is up for interpretation. She didn't do a demo of it on stage. Wouldn't that have been fun TV? That'd make for some good YouTube videos today, wouldn't it? Let's strike the children. This is a way of teaching obedience, and some people follow it. Some people subscribe to a thing. This is a great idea. This ain't going to lead to PTSD or anything. So the allegations. It's obvious it's exactly what she said on stage. That's what's so striking about so much of this case. So much of it is just out there in the open. It's not even assumptions. It's not even, I mean, there are some places where there's conjecture, but there is so much of this where it is just literally out there. Out there, and nobody said anything. Oh, this is so cute. Isn't this great? The Duggar children were raised under what the family called the points of obedience, instant, cheerful, thorough, and unconditional, not just compliance, joyful compliance. Resistance was framed as spiritual failure. Pain was framed as gratitude. And the children internalized it because they had no exposure to any other way of thinking. Michelle homeschooled them using IBLP's own curriculum. There was no outside input, no school counselor, no teacher who might ask a question, no mandatory reporter. We know that. This wasn't just parenting philosophy. This was the infrastructure that made it impossible for victims to name what happened to them, to identify what happened to them, because the language of pain had been systematically replaced with the language of praise. In 2002, Josh Duggar told his parents that he'd been doing things to his sisters. Michelle's response, the one she chose to share on national television years later, sitting across from Megyn Kelly, was this. We felt we're failures. Not our daughters were violated. Not we need to get these children to a hospital. Not we need to call the police. First instinct was shame about the family image. And that might be part of the equation. You may feel that way. And you should feel that way. Shame is a powerful thing if you actually use it and change your ways, or it can, I guess, help you dig in even more when you just say, it's Satan. Satan's making this happen. Not possibly the environment to which you are harboring these children. They did not call law enforcement. They did not take the girls to see a licensed counselor. They spoke to church elders. They prayed. Josh asked his sister for forgiveness. The girls, some of whom, according to sworn testimony from family friend Bobby Holt, were too young to understand what had happened, including one who was 5. They were expected to forgive, though. Under the doctrine, they had been raised since infancy. They had no framework to refuse. Josh continued. There were subsequent incidents. Eventually, Jim Bob drove Josh to speak with Joseph Hutchins, a state trooper who was a family friend. Hutchins was later convicted of child charges and sentenced to 56 years in prison. That was the Duggar family's idea of bringing in an authority figure. I know. I mean, you can't. This can't go more wrong. When In Touch magazine published the police report in 2015, Jim Bob and Michelle didn't step back. They didn't go quiet. They went on the offense. Fox News, Megyn Kelly, primetime. Michelle sat beside Jim Bob, and in that voice, that trained, cultivated, doctrinally mandated whisper, she told the audience that her girls didn't really understand it was an improper touch. She said the family had always solved it. It had been forgiven. We moved on with life. I'm glad you feel that way. Then the daughters were sent in. Jill and Jessa Duggar sat across from Kelly and defended their brother on camera. Jessa told the audience that calling Josh a child was so overboard and a lie, really. Jill Duggar later described that interview in the Amazon documentary Shiny Happy People as a S mission. It was designed, according to Jill, to save the family's TLC contract. Send him in to die.
You go say this for the family.
And I don't know what was said or what the agreement was or what was encouraged behind the scenes of their children when they went on camera. But Jill does, and she talks about it in her book. I mean, just think about that for a second. The victims were deployed to protect the brand. And they did it with smiles, because that's what they were trained to do from infancy, from the blanket. Michelle didn't just forgive Josh. She built the stage where his victims were expected to forgive him publicly on national television and perform wholeness while doing it. That's not grace. That's conscription. And then there's that robocall. In August of 2014, Michelle Duggar recorded a message distributed to voters across Fayetteville, Arkansas, opposing a non-discrimination ordinance. Her words verbatim from the recording:
"I don't believe the citizens of Fayetteville would want males with past child porn convictions that claim they are female to have a legal right to enter private areas that are reserved for women and girls."
This is her main concern at the moment in time while her son's like kind of in a little hot water. She warned parents that the ordinance would endanger their daughters. She asked,
What do you want? Who do you want undressing next to your daughter at the public swimming pool's private changing area?
At that same time she recorded the call, Michelle Duggar had been sitting on knowledge of her own son's conduct against children for over a decade. The police report was sealed. The show was still on the air. The family was still being positioned as the gold standard of Christian moral authority in America. When Megyn Kelly confronted her about the contradiction on Fox News, Michelle's response was to redirect, to claim there was an agenda working against her family. Of course, because when you get put into a corner where you just ask a question, where you have to be accountable for your answers, it's an agenda. And that agenda is the one and the only
Satan. It's Satan. Hi, Michelle. How are you? Here from the depths. Oh, someone's going to ask you some tough questions. Just blame it on me. Just say it's me. It's good old Satan. I'm here for you, Michelle, in case you need anything.
Here is what we actually are looking at. Toxic positivity inside the Duggar household was not a personality trait. It was a suppression system with identifiable interlocking components. The voice, trained submission, made audible. A woman with a self-described anger problem was taught by Gothard's material to whisper instead of actually address it. The anger didn't disappear. It just went underground, and so did everything else. Forced forgiveness. Victims were required to forgive their abuser as a theological obligation. In IBLP influence circles, forgiveness doesn't mean processing what happens to you. It means performing as though it didn't happen. If you live in the house, you still sit across from the person at meals, you still smile for the cameras, and you never ever say what it cost you. Keep sweet. The cultural mandate, reinforced by every layer of doctrine, that women and girls must protect, project pleasantness at all times. Anger is rebellion. Sadness is ingratitude. Disclosure is betrayal. And the brand, the television show, turned the performance into a commercial product. The family's financial survival now depended on the appearance of harmony. The stakes of breaking the silence weren't just spiritual. They were economic. Jim Bob Duggar controlled the contracts. The children weren't even party to them. The entire enterprise ran on one thing: the image, holding it together. This combination, the doctoral suppression, trained obedience, compulsory forgiveness, and a financial engine that required the silence to continue, created a household where a child could be harmed and then trained to smile about it on camera. And the person most visibly enforcing that smile every single day in every single episode was Michelle. She may not have committed the abuse. And I'm in no way, I am in no way saying that she did, although it is a little weird striking babies on blankets, if that's what happened. But she was the architect of the emotional environment that made it impossible for her daughters to say what happened, feel what they felt, or leave. But she didn't come up with it. IBLP did. You're right. But in that house, who's building? Who's the building blocks? Who's enforcing it? Who's running with it? Who's the adult who has the choice to say, you know what? I'm gonna enforce this. I'm gonna go down this road of belief, or I'm not. To those kids, she is the architect. Remember the umbrellas? They're looking up at mom. She's the architect of this way of thinking to them. Jill Duggar Dillard is in therapy now. She has publicly described the compound as a cult-like environment. She left. It cost her family relationships, access to the property, and years of her life spent untangling beliefs she was raised inside from infancy. Ginger Duggar wrote a memoir called Becoming Free Indeed, describing the process of dismantling IBLP teachings and the fear and anxiety that defined most of her life. After Joseph's arrest, she said on her podcast, "I do not think my heart could break like it has this week." Joanna Forsyth quietly walked away from IBLP before her marriage. After Joseph's arrest, she posted, "What has come out of my brother is heartbreaking and deeply disturbing. I have been a wreck this week." Jason Duggar and his wife called Joseph's alleged actions evil and unthinkable. And then there's Josh, who I really think should just be the spokesperson for the family because he's about as ignorant as all. From federal prison, where he's serving 12 and a half years for possessing child CSAM material. Josh reportedly responded to his brother's arrest by claiming Joseph faces false accusations that can destroy a life. Really? Because I'm pretty sure, according to prosecutors, he admitted to it. I know he's pleading not guilty, and we'll get to that in a moment. But, there is that. The convicted brother defending the charged brother from inside a cell. The system is still running. And after 12 days of silence, while their daughters spoke, while their niece spoke publicly, while the rest of the family released statements condemning the alleged conduct, Jim, Bob, and Michelle Duggar finally said something. They expressed heartbreak, and then they made it about them, asking for privacy. Privacy. His family spent two decades building a media empire on the premise that their private life was a public model. They invited cameras into their homes, their births, their courtships, their prayers. They positioned themselves as moral authorities. They spoke at IBLP conferences. Michelle recorded political robocalls, invading people's phones, telling strangers how to vote on matters involving the safety of children. They made their children's obedience a television product. Jim Bob ran for office more than once on the family brand. And now, after another son is convicted and one son is charged, and the system they built and profited from has been exposed in documentary, memoir, courtroom testimony, an arrest affidavit, podcast, now they would like some privacy. That request might carry weight if it hadn't come from the same people who put their victimized daughters on Fox News to defend their abuser on national television. It might land differently if Michelle hadn't recorded a robocall about child predators while sitting on a sealed police report about her own son. Privacy is something you extend to people who didn't spend decades telling the rest of us how to live. The Duggars claim moral authority over millions of families. They don't get to turn the cameras off just because the picture doesn't look the way they staged it. This is exactly the moment when we are going to keep talking about you, about your system, about every family that went through the same doctrine without a television show to eventually blow the lid off. So excuse me while I look at you on privacy. Oh, okay. Fuck you. Compare the language, by the way. After Josh's conviction in 2021, Jim, Bob, and Michelle called it very grievous and pivoted immediately to supporting Anna and the children. After Joseph's arrest in 26, they expressed heartbreak and asked for space. Same formula, same pivot away from the victim, same redirect towards the family's pain. Different son, same machine. Toxic positivity isn't kindness. It's a lock on a door that only opens from the outside. And for the children raised inside the Duggar household, taught from their first year of life that obedience must be instant, cheerful, thorough, and unconditional, that door was held shut by the person who was supposed to open it for them. The person who whispered instead of screamed, who smiled instead of called the police, who sent her daughters onto a Fox News set to save a television contract instead of into a therapist's office to save themselves. Michelle Duggar is not charged with anything. She's not accused of a crime. But the question that keeps coming up, the one nobody in that family has ever answered, is whether the performance of joy can itself become a form of harm. Whether the woman holding the umbrella was also the one making sure nobody underneath it could see the rain. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. I'd love for you to join us there, and we will continue it. Press subscribe wherever you're listening to podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. If you're finding our reporting valuable, leave us a review there. We do greatly appreciate it. We'll continue the conversation in the comments. Until then, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.